How do you do? A wise person once said, no matter what your lot in life, build something on it. And few have built more diligently than the woman in this story, given her lot in life. Imprisoned by circumstances in a disobedient body, her will nonetheless reached well beyond her grasp. And she succeeded because her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Mr. Duggan, you have a tiny baby daughter, but I don't expect her to live.
What's wrong, Doctor?
She's in danger of strangling, probably due to an enlarged thymus.
Isn't there anything you can do?
We're doing all we can. She weighs only 4 pounds and 4 ounces.
Can I see her and my wife now?
Yes, but I think you should name her right away. I don't think we can save your baby, so you'll need a name to put on the death certificate.
From the crossroads of America, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people dramatized and produced before a live audience in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Numbers don't tell the whole story, but numbers alone are impressive. Each month, more than 60,000 plates of food served each night, more than 500 homeless people sheltered, and all without any public assistance, thanks to financial gifts from people who share what they have, that others may have hope for the future. For more than 125 years, Pacific Garden Mission has been a haven in downtown Chicago, shining the light of the world into the darkness. Every physical need is met at the mission, including medical and dental care, all free to those in need. But more important is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that leads to new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2709 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Have you seen her, Leo?
Yes, Sue. She's so little, so helpless.
What shall we name her?
Whatever you like.
What about Mary Jane?
That's fine.
Oh, Leo, she can't die.
God can save her, Sue. We have to trust God with her, and whatever decision he makes will be the best one.
I know.
I'll be right back, hon. I need to let them know her name.
Oh, God, if you let my baby girl live, I will serve you more faithfully for the rest of my life.
10 days later, that tiny baby was still alive, so the doctors let her go home with her parents, who trusted in the purposes of God. Nearly 50 years ago, we told her story in one of our early episodes. This is the first of a two-part follow-up, the extraordinary true story of Mary Jane Pontaine from the classic files of Unshackled.
I'm the Mary Jane you never hear. My alter ego, who speaks well, at least in my mind, not the real voice trapped in a recalcitrant body. If my real voice were to tell this story, you might not understand. I was born in Chicago in the summer of 1930, and from the beginning, my parents needed great patience. Mother fed me with a medicine dropper every 4 hours. I was too weak even to cry, they said. I clung to life and grew as the months went by, but they could tell I wasn't like my older sister. I still wasn't walking or talking at 3 years old, and the doctor gave Mother no encouragement.
He thinks we should put her in an institution and forget about her.
What?
He told me she would never be normal. He said she would never walk or talk. He thinks she's probably mentally handicapped.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I don't either, Leo. I'm going to look for another doctor. Surely somebody can help us.
Let's pray right now, Sue. God kept her alive, and he'll help her grow into a normal child.
My father kept his promise to serve God more faithfully and through the years served in many positions. His faith had a lot to do with my progress. Mother tried several doctors before our family doctor directed her to one who offered hope.
Mrs. Duggan, your daughter has what we call spastic paralysis. Muscles become weak and stiff or unresponsive. She has normal intelligence, though she hasn't been able to express herself because of the physical problems. But we can help her break through those limitations.
I knew there had to be a way.
It won't be easy. You'll have to make a tremendous and continuing effort for this to be successful.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Dr. Black.
I'm talking about years. A physical therapist will teach you exactly what to do, but you must work with Mary Jane consistently.
These days, my condition is called cerebral palsy, but that was the mid-30s. Each week, the therapist taught my mother what to do. Then mother worked with me 3 times a day on the kitchen table. 6 months went by with no sign of progress.
She moved, Leo, she moved her foot.
You're right. Praise God, Sue. There's no stopping her now, right, honey?
Look at her. She understands. She's smiling.
Before long, you'll be skipping rope, won't you, Mary Jane?
One step at a time, dear.
Mary Jane, you can do it. You're going to be just like all the other kids on the block. You'll run and play and go to school just like your sister. Nothing is impossible with God.
No one was allowed to help me as I learned to move, then crawl, then walk. If I fell, I had to get myself up. Speech therapy was just as grueling. First, I learned to blow out the candle, then blow without letting the flame go out. This taught me breath control, so important to speech. I still walked with a hitch, but my speech was understandable when I started school at the age of 5. I wanted to do everything the other kids were doing.
Don't hold her back, Mrs. Duggan. If she wants to try something, let her.
She wants to do everything her friends do, but a bicycle?
It's good exercise. If you work with her, she'll probably get the hang of it.
Well, she seems to be doing well at school, even though one of the teachers thinks she doesn't belong there. Well,
she's very intelligent. If you keep working on speech therapy, she'll be able to express her intelligence better.
My husband always says that she's not handicapped. She's a normal child who happens to have a physical disability.
Because of my parents' efforts and the encouragement of family members and friends, I never thought of myself as different or handicapped. I was 8 years old and still on a tricycle while my friends were riding bicycles, so that Christmas when I asked for and received my little two-wheeler, I was so thrilled. I walked it over to my best friend's house half a block away. That was before training wheels were invented. In the spring, Daddy began teaching me to ride.
Leo, must you take her out again? I worry so.
She will learn to ride, Sue. It's important that she do what other children do.
But she already has a bump on each side of her head.
You should be proud of her determination.
I am, but she could get seriously hurt.
I'll be with her, so don't worry.
I'll stay here and bake some bread.
Come on, Mary Jane, let's go across the street and practice balancing. Hey, look both ways now. Today's a great day to ride a bicycle, right?
Yes, Daddy!
Ready?
Uh-huh!
Okay, I'll hold you and you pedal. That's it. Doing fine. Keep it up, keep it up. Daddy's right here. You just keep pedaling now.
All of a sudden, I was riding a whole block before I realized Daddy had let go and I was alone. What a feeling! One by one, I learned to jump rope, roller skate, ice skate, and swim, thanks to my parents' dedication and patience. I didn't realize Mother was venting her anxiety by baking bread while I was taking risks. I always considered the bread a reward for my efforts. I also thought I was normal and would continue going to school with my neighborhood friends. But in the 4th grade, I met my nemesis in a teacher who was intolerant of my weakness. My friend Elsie and I cried all the way home.
What's the matter, girls?
The teacher, she made me feel so stupid.
She made you feel stupid, honey? How?
She didn't give me my picture. I was the only one.
No, wait a minute, honey. Let Elsie, let her explain. You're crying too hard for me to understand.
Well, Teacher, she was really mean, Mrs. Duggan. She threw Mary Jane's art project in the waste basket and told the whole class that it was just scribbles.
That was very mean.
Oh, she didn't have to say that in front of the whole class. It's not fair.
Oh, Mary Jane, I'm so sorry, honey. Don't cry. I'm going to call the school and take care of it right now.
That's the same teacher that had Mary Jane held back in kindergarten, isn't it?
Yeah, she had no consideration for her condition. She doesn't think Mary Jane belongs in her school.
Her school?
That's what she said. And I don't want Mary Jane there either, after the way she was treated.
What did Dr. Black say?
He wants us to put her in a special school for disabled children. He's already made the arrangements. Oh,
she won't understand why she's there, Sue. We've never treated her differently.
I know, but Dr. Black thinks she'll be better off in the special school. The public school teachers aren't trained to deal with kids like Mary Jane.
Oh, but she's very intelligent.
She'll excel in the new school, Leo. We have to give it a chance.
Well, she won't be very happy about this.
Up to that point, I knew I had been born with spastic paralysis, but I never thought of myself as handicapped. What a shock to walk into that fourth grade room and see all those handicapped children, some in wheelchairs. As I looked around the room, my one thought was, I don't belong here. I am not handicapped.
How do you like the new school, Mary Jane?
I don't belong there,
honey,
Mom.
What's wrong?
They're so pathetic.
They're all so pathetic?
Yes, I'm not like that.
Mary Jane, Dr. Black thinks you should be in that school.
But I'm not like
honey,
them.
Honey, I know that. You've worked very hard to do everything your friends do. You are not handicapped, but you were born with a physical problem. And the teachers at the new school will be more considerate of your problems.
Why me? Why was I born this way?
Honey, nobody knows that but God. And he has a wonderful plan for your life, even so. Remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
I don't belong there. I'll show them. I'm not like that.
I was sure they'd all see their mistake and put me back in public school with my friends. But I stayed in that special school. 2 years later, when I was 12, I made several decisions that would affect the rest of my life.
We'll hear about those decisions and their consequences in just a moment. Unshackled is broadcast in 6 languages, including Romanian and Russian. Here are excerpts from some of the many letters our friends in Moldova have sent the radio stations there. First of all, I want to tell you why I am writing this letter. I really like to listen to Unshackled. I thank God that when I was still a sinner, he found me through this program and made me his son. And that is why, for me, this is the most important radio program. I'm ashamed to think of my life before Christ, but I thank God for the opportunity to serve him while I am still young. I will never regret the steps I took to come to him. May God bless you for airing this program. Ina Kahul writes, thank you for your program Unshackled, especially the one that aired on Christmas night. Because of this program, a friend of my mother accepted Christ, and for this, my whole family thanks you. A woman named Maja writes, greeting from my entire family. Just now, as I am writing this letter, my family is listening to Unshackled. Through this program, God worked in my husband's heart, and he came to know Christ. To learn more about this ministry to Eastern Europe, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Because my physical disability included a slight but persistent shaking of the head, some people thought I was mentally handicapped. Even as a child, I stayed away from those who were mentally handicapped because I was afraid of being included among them. My best friends in the neighborhood had no disabilities, and I played with them, so I progressed very well. My ever-patient parents never chastised me. They just prayed for and encouraged me to do my best. I was voted the best adjusted student in my school when I graduated from eighth grade. We always went to church, and I stayed busy with youth activities. During those years, I made a lifelong decision that I shared with Elsie, my best friend.
You want to be a missionary?
Yes, to China. God called me.
How do you know, Mary Jane?
God spoke to my heart.
Do you think God speaks to everyone's heart?
I don't know about everyone.
What would you do as a missionary?
Tell people how Jesus died on the cross for their sins. How he gives you eternal life when you trust in him.
Mary Jane, I think you'll make a good missionary.
Many years later, I learned that my friend Elsie received Christ as her Savior because of that conversation. Church activities became ever more important in my teenage years. I never let my disability interfere. One night, a blizzard canceled our youth musical, and the director offered a prize to the one who phoned the most people, telling them about the change. I made 53 calls that day and won that prize, 2 weeks at a summer Bible camp. There, I met an evangelist who encouraged me in my goal of becoming a missionary. I couldn't wait to tell my parents.
I've never seen you so excited, Mary Jane.
The evangelist at the camp said that I should apply to Northwestern Bible College, and he'll see that I get in.
Oh, and he's the president.
Praise God.
We are very proud of you, Mary Jane. This is encouraging news.
With God, all things are possible.
By then, I was walking so well, I wore 4-inch heels to my graduation from high school. But as I went off to college, I still had to hold a cup with both hands, and my speech was still far from perfect.
Hello?
Mom, I saw a doctor today.
Can you resume therapy?
No, it's too late.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, dear.
But I'm getting speech therapy.
Oh, that's good, Mary Jane. If you work at it, you'll get better.
And I can almost hold a glass with one hand now.
It feels good to reach your goals, doesn't it?
Yes.
How are your classes going?
All but one is fine.
Oh, what's happening with that one?
Well, every time I raise my hand, the teacher ignores me.
Did you talk with her about it?
No. Some of my classmates complained to the vice president for me. Now she leaves me alone.
Well, I guess you'll always have to deal with some form of discrimination, Mary Jane. Except in heaven, God is no respecter of persons.
God had always been a big part of my life, but being in Bible college, where I was immersed in Scripture and listening to the faith of others with a personal relationship with the Lord, I began questioning my own faith. There was no one point in my life when I had confessed my sinfulness and prayed to God for salvation. During a special week of meetings at the college, we had speakers every day and every night, and my turmoil grew, so I talked with one of them during a break.
Mr. Johnson, your message was so challenging. You talk about the Lord just like the men in the Bible, as if he is right with you.
Well, young lady, I'm glad that you were challenged by my message. The Lord is with every believer. His Holy Spirit leads us and makes us feel God's presence.
I see. Well,
Are you having problems with your relationship with the Lord?
I'm not sure that I have a relationship with him. I hear all of the students talking about it, but I don't really understand. I was raised up going to church, and I've always volunteered to work there. I've even been baptized 3 times just to make sure that I'd done it right.
What's your name, young lady?
It's Mary Jane.
Well, Mary Jane, being raised in church and getting baptized won't give you a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. Then you know for sure He's always with you.
I don't know if that's ever happened to me.
If you don't know, you'd better make sure.
As the preaching continued, my convictions grew, and I just had to make sure that I was saved. So I prayed.
Okay, Lord, if I don't belong to you and you want me to, please do something special. Have the speaker give an invitation.
I feel led to do something we don't normally do in chapel. This is a Christian college, and you wouldn't be here if you weren't already Christians. But if there is someone here who doesn't really know Christ as his or her personal Savior, please raise your hand. Oh, would that young lady with the raised hand please stop by my office after chapel?
Mary Jane, it isn't unusual for someone to grow up in a Christian home and assume they're a Christian. But God doesn't have any grandchildren. Each person must confess their sin to God and receive Jesus Christ personally as their Savior in order to become a child of God. You know all the fundamentals of the faith, right?
Yes.
Well, we'll go over them anyway so you can know that you belong to God. Number one, God says we're all sinners.
Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is the penalty for sin?
Death.
Correct. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So tell me, Mary Jane, what have you done to deserve salvation?
Nothing. It's a gift from God.
Right again. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are clear. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
I believe all that.
Then why don't you kneel right now and settle everything with God?
I prayed that day and received new life in Christ. Immediately I felt His presence within me, and I have never had a doubt about my salvation. My college years were delightful. Every year, there was a missions conference with booths all over the gym. I hung around the one for inland China.
Still thinking of China, Mary Jane?
Yes, God called me there.
You know, China is now closed to Western missionaries.
Maybe that will change.
It's a very difficult field. My brother and his wife were martyred there several years ago.
I know.
The work goes on, but it's underground now. And the church is still growing there.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yes, but life would be very difficult for you in China, Mary Jane.
My whole life has been difficult.
There's the medical problem and the language difficulty. I'm afraid no reputable mission board would send you there.
Well, surely I could be useful.
Yes, but the difficulties and concern for your welfare would outweigh the advantages.
By my senior year, I knew he was right, and I made plans to join the workforce after graduation, but looking for a job was not easy. I found that most employers took one look at me and decided that I couldn't perform the tasks, while others considered hiring me because they felt sorry for me. I was devastated. Finally, I was hired by a firm that knew my abilities because my mom had worked there. I struggled with self-pity. It took over my heart. I decided my shaking head and difficult speech would make people think I was crazy. I didn't want them to think that all Christians were crazy, so I should withdraw from God's work. I prayed,
"Lord, I'm doing the work of your kingdom more harm than good because of the way I am."
About that time, my mother gave me a book by Eugenia Price, who was writing Unshackled dramas, and I finished the book in one sitting. Hungry for fellowship, I called, and they invited me to a weekly meeting.
Oh, glad you're here. Would you like to meet the others?
Oh, I don't know. I better explain you. The reason that my head shakes is that...
Mary Jane, I already know. I'm a doctor.
Oh, well, then you probably know. I'm not crazy, even if my head does shake.
Crazy? Who thinks that?
Well, people could.
I explained my idea of keeping my Christianity a secret, which seemed noble to me, but she saw right through my self-deception.
You won't like this, Mary Jane, but I think you're feeling sorry for yourself. You've given Christ everything you are, but you're not willing to give him what you are not. When we surrender to him, we have to make it complete. Give him our strengths and infirmities, both, and trust his promise that all things work together for good for them that love God. Does that make any sense, Mary Jane?
I'm afraid it does.
Self-pity has never gotten hold of me since. My life was filled to the brim with a full-time job in a department store and additional responsibilities with a worldwide Christian organization for which I flew to other cities. I was nearly 30 years old when God brought someone into my life who would change everything, ultimately leading me into the work I'd always longed for, but exposing another self-delusion.
We'll hear the conclusion of Mary Jane's extraordinary testimony next week. Meanwhile, listening friend, if you are like Mary Jane with unrealized dreams, we have good news. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. The one who created the universe and you knows your every need and hope. Whatever is holding you back, he will set you free. Invite him into your heart and life today. The Bible says in Acts Chapter 2, verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2709. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter is important to us. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one seems to care, we do. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with a counselor, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.
Thank you.